Good evening. This is Patrick Donahue. We're so appreciative of you listening to our program every week at 8:05 Eastern, 9:05 Eastern, 8:05 Central, where we talk about the Bible and we give you a chance to call in with your Bible questions or comments. I thought while we're waiting on our first call, we would talk about a practice that's spoken of, referenced many times in the Bible, Old and New Testaments, yet so very few Christians, so very few churches practice it, and that's this, the practice of fasting. Going without food for a certain length of time to show sacrifice for God, to show your service to God. Fasting. What does the Bible teach about fasting? Should Christians fast today? Well, I suggest to you, they should. Number one, yes, because Matthew 6, verses 16 through 18 says that we will be rewarded if we fast. Let me read that text to you. Jesus is speaking here, and he says, "Moreover, when you fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thine head and wash thy face, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly." In this section of Scripture, Matthew 6, 1-18, Jesus brings up three things, and his primary point is, when you do these things, don't do it to be seen of men. The first one is doing charitable deeds. Help others, but don't do it to be seen of men. The second one is praying. We should pray to God, but not to do it to be seen of men. And the third one is fasting. The point is that we should fast, but not do it to be seen of men. Now, this passage then clearly teaches that Christians today should fast just as much as it would teach that Christians should do charitable deeds and pray today. If not, why not? Before we leave this text, let me point out that Jesus, in this text, assumed his disciples would fast. He says, when you fast, not if you fast. If you have a Bible question or comment, the lines are wide open, 1-877-655-6755. Don't be bashful. Go ahead with your Bible question or comment. The next text I would like to turn to is Matthew 9. And let me read 14 through 15. Jesus is speaking again. Well, it says, "Then came to him the disciples of John, saying," excuse me, they're asking Jesus a question, "Why do we and the Pharisees fast oft, but thy disciples fast not? And Jesus said unto them, Can the children of the bride chamber mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? But the days will come when the bridegroom shall be taken from them, and then shall they fast." What is Jesus saying here? His immediate disciples did not fast because he, the bridegroom, was with them. He says, though, when the bridegroom, that's talking about himself, is gone, then they will fast. Now, ask yourself this question. Is the bridegroom, Jesus, with us today, or is he gone? He's gone, isn't he? He was there then. He died. He was resurrected. And he ascended up to heaven. And now he's gone. And Jesus said, when the bridegroom is gone, his disciples would fast. That's us, folks. We're supposed to be his disciples. We're supposed to be fasting after the bridegroom, Jesus, is gone. Are we doing it? Does your church, where you worship, advocate fasting? They should. Call us with your Bible question or comment at 1-877-655-6755. Another idea in the New Testament that shows that we should fast today is the fact that approved examples in the New Testament are binding upon us today. What I mean by that is that the Bible teaches that we should follow these approved examples. Passages like Philippians 4, verse 9, 1 Peter 2:21, 1 Corinthians 4, verse 16, Philippians 3:17, 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 9, Hebrews 6:12, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 6. Let me read 1 Corinthians 11, verse 1, where Paul said, Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. So in one short verse, Paul is saying that we, Christians, should follow him and we should follow Christ. In other words, the things that we see in Paul doing, we should do also. Philippians 4, verse 9. First, let's start with Jesus. Did Jesus fast? How about Matthew 4, verse 2? Talking about Jesus, it says, when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. So Jesus certainly did fast. We see that other righteous people in Jesus' day fasted. For example, in Luke 2, 36 through 37, let me read that. And there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Aser. She was of a great age, and had lived with her husband 7 years from her virginity. And she was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And so we see 1 Corinthians 11, verse 1, and those other references I gave. We're supposed to follow the example of Jesus and the apostles. Did Jesus fast? He certainly did. What about the other Christians in New Testament times? Well, we see from a couple of texts that groups of Christians fasted. Let me read Acts 13, 1 through 3. Before I do, let me announce that number again. If you have a Bible question or a comment, call us at 1-877-655-6755. Acts 13, 1 through 3 reads, Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. And as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So the congregation here evidently was sending Barnabas and Paul out on a missionary journey. And when they did that, it says twice, they fasted and prayed. You see, groups of Christians fasted in the New Testament. And we're to follow their example, of course, so we should do it likewise. Same thing in Acts 14, verse 23, which reads, And when they had ordained them elders in every church and had prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord and on whom they believed. So it looks like what that text is saying is when a congregation ordains elders, they should pray and fast in conjunction with that. You tell me if I'm wrong about that, but that's what it looks like the text is saying. Are you part of a congregation that has ordained elders? Then the congregation should have prayed and fasted when they ordained those elders. Did they? Again, the point is that groups of Christians fasted, not just individuals. But of course, individuals fasted also. Let's talk about that in a moment. We'll show that Paul fasted during the New Testament times. But first, let's take this call. Teresa from West Virginia, go ahead with your Bible question or comment.
Yes, I would like to know how often should a person fast?
You know, Teresa, this is kind of like prayer. The Bible tells us to pray, but it doesn't specify how often we're to pray. It's the same way with fasting. The Bible tells us to fast, but it doesn't tell us how often to fast. And I think that probably God does that on purpose because He wants to know your true heart. And if He told you to fast every Tuesday and Thursday, you might do it by rote. But if He just tells you that you should fast and leaves it up to you how often, then He can find out where your true heart is as far as regarding how often you fast. Do you follow what I'm saying, Teresa?
Yes, and that does enlighten me.
I'm going to let you go, and then I'm going to give you some more information about maybe how often we should fast, okay?
All right, and thank you.
Thank you, Teresa. And so I'm going to talk about a few things that doesn't tell us exactly how often to fast, but shows us, gives us some occasions for fasting that we see in the Bible. Now, the New Testament tells us, instructs Christians to fast through statement and example. But then if we go to the Old Testament, there are a lot of verses in the Old Testament about fasting. Of course, the Old Testament is not binding today, but we can turn to the Old Testament to help us understand what fasting is and on what kind of occasions we would fast. For example, in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verses 2 through 3, Jehoshaphat proclaimed a fast at the threat of war. Impending danger for the nation, they fasted. We might think of doing that the same thing today if there were impending danger regarding our nation. Suppose we were considering going to war or we were in war. We might fast and, of course, pray, asking for God's help in the matter, and for God's safety and protection. Impending danger? Fast. How about in Esther 3, verses 8 and 9, and chapter 4, verse 3? They were faced with impending danger, the Jews there, and they fasted in that text. We see fasting in 2 Samuel 12, verse 16, when praying for the sick. We talk about how that Christians ought to pray for the sick. We see that in James 5 and many other places. Well, when praying for the sick, perhaps we should fast, at least sometimes, because we see that in 2 Samuel chapter 12, verse 16. 2 Samuel chapter 1, verse 12, they fasted when loved ones died. Don't we pray many times when loved ones are close to death or when they have died? Don't we pray for their families? Well, perhaps we ought to accompany that prayer with fasting, since they did that in 2 Samuel chapter 1, verse 12. Also, a good time to fast would be when we're seeking God's forgiveness for our sins. We see that in Deuteronomy 9, 15 through 18, and Daniel 9, 3 through 5. Again, let me say, we're not under the Old Testament law. That's not binding today. The New Testament instructs us to fast, but then we can go to the Old Testament to learn what fasting is all about, perhaps tell how often or when we should fast. We appreciate that call. And so we see from Acts 13 and Acts 14 that groups of Christians fasted. You remember we looked at 1 Corinthians 11, verse 1, where Paul said, "Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ." And so in one short verse, he tells us that we ought to follow the example of him and Christ. And we've already seen where Jesus fasted. What about Paul? He fasted also. For example, in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 27, Paul wrote, "In weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness." Now, this says that Paul fasted, and we're to follow his example according to 1 Corinthians 11, verse 1, and Philippians 4, verse 9, which we've already talked about. Sometimes I hear people say, "Well, Paul didn't intend to fast. This is talking about when Paul was in a place where he couldn't eat, you know, in a dire circumstance, or when he was in jail and they wouldn't feed him." No, that's already mentioned in the passage. When he was talking about these things, sufferings he had to go through for the Lord, he says, "In hunger and thirst." That's talking about the times he couldn't eat. Perhaps he was in jail and they wouldn't feed him. Of course, being in jail for the cause of Christ. Then he says, "In fastings." That's something totally different. That's when he chooses not to eat out of service to the Lord. Perhaps in earnest prayer, he's asking God for something he feels is really important. So he shows God his earnestness in his prayers by fasting. Also, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 5, Paul said, "In stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in watchings, in fastings." So we have the fact that Christ fasted, Paul fasted during New Testament times, groups of Christians fasted during New Testament times. We have these examples and two or three statements that I've read instructing us to fast. Why is it that hardly anybody that claims to be a believer, a Christian, practices this? I don't know. I don't know why they don't. It's clearly taught by the Bible. It's clearly taught that we should fast today, yet most people who claim to be Christians completely ignore these instructions. Is it because they don't see any other Christians fasting around them? You know, we've got to do what's right, even if we're the only person in the world doing what's right. We don't just do what we do as a Christian just because other people are doing it. No, we do it because it's instructed by the Lord. So even if we never see anybody else fast, we still must fast because God instructs us to in His New Testament law. Or perhaps a lot of Christians or people who claim to be Christians don't fast because it's a very hard thing to do. You have to go without food for a certain amount of time, and that's very uncomfortable. Well, surely if Jesus was willing to suffer all he did, leading up to the cross, on the cross, the terrible pain and agony, and then dying for our sins, surely if he was willing to do that, suffer that much for us, it wouldn't be that big of a thing for us to fast to show our service to him, to show how grateful we are to him for what he's done for us. Another passage I would like to look at is 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 5. But before I do that, let me mention the number again. 1-877-655-6755. If you have a Bible question or comment on this topic, fasting, or any other Bible topic, we'll be glad to take your call. Now, the word fasting is in this text that I'm going to read. Some translations don't have it. The King James has it, so I'm not an expert at textual criticism, so I just wanted to let you know that some texts have the word fasting in this text and some don't. Now let me read the text, 1 Corinthians 7, 3-5. It says, "Let the husband render unto the wife due benevolence, and likewise also the wife unto the husband. The wife hath not power of her own body, but the husband, and likewise also the husband hath not power of his own body, but the wife. Defraud ye not one the other, except it be with consent for a time, that you may give yourselves to fasting and prayer, and come together again, that Satan tempt you not for your incontinency." What is the Bible talking about here? It's talking about how husband and wife have responsibilities toward each other. Marital relations, we're talking about. And this is saying that the only time they can suspend these marital relations is for a time with consent, that you may give yourselves to fasting and prayer. And the reason you don't suspend these relations is because it will lead to one or the other partner being tempted to commit adultery, to going outside the marriage to be fulfilled. It says, it puts it this way, that Satan tempts you not for your incontinency or lack of self-control. Now, fasting must be pretty important for God to make this the one and only reason a couple can suspend marital relations. And of course, that's just for a time, by consent. Don't do it for any reason except you give yourselves to fasting and prayer. I say that fasting must be very important for it to be put in a context like that. Appreciate you listening tonight, and go ahead and give us a call if you have a Bible question or a comment about this Bible topic or any other Bible topic that you would like to know about. 1-877-655-6755. We can learn a lot about fasting from the Old Testament. For example, we can learn the purpose of fasting. Jonah chapter 3, verses 3 through 10, to entreat God's favor. Luke 2, 36 through 37, we've already mentioned, to serve God. Psalm 69:10, Isaiah 58, verse 5, Psalms 35, verse 13. We see that fasting was done to chasten or afflict or humble our soul. Ezra 8, 21 through 23, to seek God's favor in a particular matter. What about the length of fasting? Well, we see from passages like Judges 20, verse 26, 1 Samuel 14:24 and 2 Samuel 3, verse 35, that many times it was for one day until evening. A person would fast from the time they woke up in the morning until it got dark at night. As a matter of fact, that's what we see almost every time. In Esther chapter 4, verse 16, we see that they fasted 3 days, but that seems to be a special case. And then in Deuteronomy 9:9 and Matthew 4, verse 2, it talks about a 40-day fast, but I'm assuming that that was aided by miraculous or divine assistance. And then we see that there are wrong ways to fast, but before we look at those, let's take this call. Chancey from Montana, go ahead with your Bible question or comment, please.
Hi, I was wondering if you guys could just describe fasting, you know, to the best of your knowledge, you know, like time, length of time and that sort of thing.
Well, you probably didn't hear it since you were waiting to get on the air, but I just talked about the length of time. Fasting, of course, is going without food And remember, this is not by happenstance. You premeditate this. You plan this because you're trying to serve the Lord. Going without food, you're making a sacrifice for God to show perhaps your earnestness in the prayer that you're doing. And what we just talked about, that almost every time in the Bible, fasting was from the time you got up in the morning until dark that evening for a one-day fast. That was most every time. We appreciate you calling, Chancey.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Have a good day. Kathleen from Spokane, Washington. Go ahead with your Bible question or comment, please.
Well, my comment is this, that Catholicism practices a form of fasting during the season of Lent. It's regulated that only certain age groups, in other words, if you get, I think it's past 60, I think, you don't have to fast. But the regular fasting age, it's the requirement is very moderate. You have one meal a day, one full meal a day, and then your other two meals would equal the sum of a regular. In other words, you're eating a half a meal on the other two meals. No snacks in between. And I don't fast anymore because I'm too old. But when I did fast, even though I was slender, I would usually lose about 10 pounds during the Lenten season. The Lenten season is in imitation or remembrance of Christ's 40 days. Before
Kathleen, thank you for your call. I appreciate it, okay?
Okay, bye.
And so what Kathleen is talking about, we don't find anything like that in the Bible. Fasting means you go without food, not just cut back. That sounds like me when I'm going on a diet trying to lose weight. But fasting is not something you do where you just eat half as much. It's when you go completely out without food, not any food, for a certain length of time. And, of course, it applies to all age groups. And Deshaun from New Jersey, go ahead with your Bible question or comment, please.
My question is regarding tithing. Can you tell me in the New Testament where they talk about tithing and still with the 10%? I know it's in Malachi 3, verse 8, all the way up to 12 in the Old Testament, but as far as the New Testament, what does the Bible says about tithing and the 10% in your offering as well?
We'll do that, Deshaun. Thanks for your call. You know, the Old Testament, we're not under that law anymore, and it did require them to tithe. The New Testament never requires us to tithe 10%, but it does say we're to give as God hath prospered us. For example, in 1 Corinthians 16, 1 and 2, it says, "Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come." And so we're to give as we've been prospered, and the strong Christians I know give much more than 10%. Much more than 10%. We're going to have to go off the air in about half a minute. Let me mention one of the passages we read all the time on this program. John 8, verse 32, "And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." If we're not believing in and teaching and practicing fasting, then we're not believing in and practicing the truth, and so we won't be made free from our sin. 2 John verse 9 says we have to abide in the teaching of Christ to have God, to be saved. If we're not believing and teaching and practicing fasting, then we don't have God because we're not abiding in the teaching of Christ. The teaching of Christ tells us to fast, just like it tells us to be baptized, to eat the Lord's Supper, and all these other things. So I challenge you to study your Bible, find out about fasting, and put it into practice in your life.